Hello again, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Eric Ziegler, a teacher in Denton ISD. In this episode, I'll be talking about chapters 15 and 16 of Patrick J. Finn's book, Literacy with an Attitude. I decided to combine both chapters because I think they're both equally interesting. They both deal with becoming what is termed in the book, a social justice teacher. In these two chapters, there are a couple of specific topics that I found exceptional, the ideas of negotiation and agitation. And we'll talk about those two terms here in just a couple of moments. But in chapter 15, Finn writes that most teachers represent the interests of the dominant group and the status quo without being aware of it. Most try to be apolitical to seem neutral. You know, let's not discuss the hard truth. Let's just do the job, follow the curriculum, and move these kids on to the next level, whatever level that is. That system just doesn't work, especially when we're talking about the working class student. They're not going to learn our curriculum unless it's important to them. They have to have their own inner motivation, but our sit-and-get type of classrooms haven't allowed them to find that. Worse, this lack of motivation may be cultural, feeling they're stuck in their path regardless of what happens. It's the mindset of the oppressed, as Freire would suggest. You know, thinking about this, I've always been an inquisitive person. I like to learn. I want to know why things are the way they are in any given scenario, what situations or decisions led to this particular thing. You know, one of my favorite classes during my undergrad studies was economics. Yes, economics has a lot to do with the flow of money and business trends and all that. But what made it interesting to me was the human part. You know, economics is just as much a social study as it is a financial study. You start to question what effect, you know, some economic decisions were having on society. You start thinking about what issues in society were affecting other outcomes. Our working class kids don't come to us like this. We have to teach them to be inquisitive, to think critically. We have to teach them self-affirmation, working with groups, cooperation. And one thing that's discussed here in the reading, we have to teach them to negotiate. Okay, that might sound a little scary to most teachers. No, we don't need to give up control of the classroom or give in to every request. I know it sounds like we're basically offering them the opportunity to argue with us, but that's not the case. You know, one of the quotes there in the book suggests to construct a classroom in which students have the maximum amount of power that is legally permitted and that they can socially handle. So we don't have to give in to everything. Ultimately, the idea here, though, is that we have to engage them in a democratic process to help them see that they can change their fates if they really want to work for that change. I know many of us think about negotiation just in terms of business. I negotiated for a living for most of my adult life. I was in the business of selling cars for 17 years, much of that as a sales manager. Our negotiations weren't just price, though, or what we could throw in for a customer to earn their business. You had to negotiate through features that might be important for the customer based on how they'd be using the vehicle. Earning trust from your customer is, in a sense, negotiation. You know, what sets you apart or what appeal do you have to the customer that makes them want to buy from you and not someone else? I mean, think about it. Negotiation is just a way of life. Negotiation is critical thinking. I would say that it's essential to learning. Working class kids don't know how to do this. They don't negotiate for the things that are important to them. If you'll remember, these kids are taught to sit and listen, as we discussed in the last podcast. They're often taught that there is one right way to do things, with little exception, and don't question the authority that knows what they're talking about. This is one reason why our middle class students typically perform better in school. They're taught from an early age to negotiate, and that's the way our middle class schools are built now. We're trying to become more student-centered, less authoritarian. If we can teach these working class students to negotiate, then we can give them the tools that help them build their self-esteem, both in the classroom and in the real world, allowing them the hope for change. In chapter 16, Finn gives examples of his studies of teachers that were agitators. No, I don't mean agitator in a bad sense, and he doesn't mean that either. But these were teachers that did not want to maintain the status quo. They were considered social justice teachers. These teachers brought real-world problems into the classroom, having students dissect and analyze problems from a critical viewpoint, more from a socially just and socially relevant viewpoint. The idea here is to help students see that they can have change if they want. But they have to be able to see things differently. They have to be inquisitive. They have to take social issues to heart. They have to want change, not just hope things to change. One thing I found interesting in this chapter was that teachers mentioned the social justice teachers were activists outside the school. And this really made me think, is it enough just to teach about social injustice without actually participating in movements that promote social injustice? And if I were more involved in some of these social issues, how much greater would the impact be when speaking to my students? You know, I've never had a problem discussing my personal life with students. A lot of teachers don't like to do this, but honestly, I think I have a lot to give in terms of advice from my life experience. I tell them about my family from time to time and some things that I deal with at home every now and then. I tell them that I'm vegan, which usually gets a lot of questions. These are great for building relationships, I believe, you know, building trust. But I'm a homebody. I don't really get involved in things too often that are outside of the school or the home. You know, I've thought recently about my desire to do more things for my community. Recently, for an assignment for another class, ironically, I went to drop off books to the local public library. The library wasn't open at the time, but what I found there shocked me. The library was next to a small park, and around the building there were a dozen or so homeless people hanging around, some of them taking shelter in the shade of the entry to the library. Now, I've seen homeless people before, but honestly, I hadn't expected such a gathering in the city where I live. I mean, this is a suburb, basically. This is not big inner city Dallas. This is Denton, Texas, a college town. I left feeling disturbed. I wanted to help. I still do. How can I teach students to create change if I'm doing nothing, though? What can I do in my classroom that instills these same feelings in my students? Not just for helping others, but also helping themselves. Isn't that what being an agitator is all about? I hope to become that agitator that pushes his students to think about themselves and the world around them in a different way. I hope that I can make a difference in an educational system that I believe is missing the point at times. I hope that I can make change, and I hope you will too. Thank you for listening.